cybercrime, macroeconomic conditions, ESG reporting. You can't predict the future, but you can prepare for it. By understanding your risk, you can make your business resilient to challenges on the road ahead. What's more, you can turn those risks into opportunities. EY helps CFOs, boards, and audit committees see beyond the numbers to uncover the critical insights that make their organizations resilient, even in an ever-shifting landscape. For more insights that matter, visit ey.com/beyondthenumbers.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take and Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Bloomberg Business Week with Carol Messer and Tim Stenovec on Bloomberg Radio.
All right, Tim, time to take a little bit of a deep dive into biotech stocks, because as a whole, they were down about 26% last year compared with a 33% drop in the NASDAQ 100. So a little perspective there. And I do feel like a day does not go by that there isn't some news out of the biotech space regarding test trials on some drug development or some kind of investment or deal that going on. So really smart for us to take a deeper look into this group.
Yeah, really excited to speak to Deborah Netschert, Health Sciences Portfolio Manager at the Registered Investment Advisor. Jennison Associates. It's got $164 billion in assets under management. Deborah joins us on the phone from New York City. Good to have you with us this afternoon. So before we start about talking about what's happening this year, let's just think back to the last couple of years, because I think for a lot of investors, biotech came on their radar with talking about, you know, companies like Moderna developing an mRNA vaccine, and perhaps, you know, a different group of investors now paying attention to a group of companies that has been historically volatile, but has also offered potentially a lot of promise.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think that when you look at all of the different investors that came into the market during COVID, they looked at the Modernas and the BioNTechs and the Novavaxes and all of the rapid development of the COVID-19 vaccines and started to think that there was going to be an opportunity to see accelerated development like this in other categories. And the problem with that is all of these vaccines were really developed under an emergency use authorization, and that was a very distinct pathway used at the FDA. And development takes time. And I don't think that the pathway that the FDA used and the rapid development we saw in COVID-19 vaccines is really going to be relevant. And so some of these investors really expected us to see follow-ons with COVID-19 paired with RSV, paired with flu, and really start to be able to see these vaccines kind of coming out at a really rapid rate. And some of the reality of kind of going back to the normal drug development timelines, and then just the reality of the bolus of patient population that these vaccines were serving kind of brought people back to reality.
You know, I have to say, I always love the different conferences, whether it's ASCO, which looks, you know, into cancer, because you always get a lot of news out of it in terms of drug development or what companies are working on what. So what might kind of be some really innovation that we're going to get out of the biotech sector this year that investors should maybe take note of?
Well, there's always a lot of innovation, and there's
Fair.
Always a lot of there's a lot of data that comes out at all of the conferences. So, you know, we're starting to see a lot of things coming out. A lot of innovation is actually interestingly happening in the larger cap companies, and it's the first time that we've seen the larger cap companies start to enter new product cycles, have a resurgence in growth, and have the ability to really positively impact their revenue and EPS profile over the next couple of years by some of these big markets. Obviously, we've seen a huge increase in the use of the GLP-1s that are approved for diabetes, but are also in certain instances approved for obesity and soon to hopefully be approved for obesity for other companies. And you're seeing a huge use of this group of drugs. And I think you're going to start to see a lot of additional indications coming out of that. We're starting to see some, you know, we have gene therapies that have now been approved that are on the market. So it's going to be really interesting to see how the business models for these single, very expensive, yet, you know, sometimes curative Deborah, are really going to be able to be there.
Deborah, forgive me for interrupting, and I know you're a portfolio manager, and I don't know how deep you can go for us. I know our audience always loves, whether it's sectors specifically or talking some names, like, are there, and again, I don't know how deep you can go. Can you throw out some names to us that you think, wow, these are definitely on my radar, or if I'm looking to commit some new money for investors, that's what I'm going to think about?
I would love to do that, but unfortunately, I would have had to have things cleared before doing that on today's program.
No problem at all, Deborah. We needed to ask. Hey, one thing that I really want to hear from you is, obviously, the investment question is really fascinating, but at the same time, you cover a space that is just really exciting from a human perspective. We all know people who've been affected by just terrible diseases, and I wonder, given what you cover and how much research you do into these companies, what just excites you about living in a world where we could soon, you know, be living longer and saying goodbye to some diseases that previously were death sentences?
I mean, I think exactly that. I think, you know, I always say that it's a gift to be able to get what I do, because if you have endless intellectual curiosity like I do, you really are able to stay on the forefront of really looking at the diseases and all of the new innovative treatments that are coming out. And, you know, and I also view my job as a shareholder of companies to be helping companies who are going at this for the first time and helping them to not fall into some of the pitfalls.
Paint a picture for us, you know, 10, 15 years from now, when it comes to some of these moonshots. I mean, do we say goodbye to chemotherapy and instead we can talk about gene therapy? Or
yes, I'm thinking.
Well, I mean, look, I hope that in 10 years we are saying goodbye to chemotherapy, or we're finding a way. I mean, we've seen innovation with chemotherapy through drugs called antibody drug conjugates that take the chemotherapy and develop it to only the cells that need it, as opposed to ablating all cells. And so that has allowed cancer patients to already receive chemotherapy in a way that it's not so toxic. So hopefully we're either, you know, continuing down that, and, you know, there could always be a use for chemotherapy, but hopefully in a decade we're really changing the curve on personalized medicine, where we're really starting to understand an individual cancer in the individual person and being able to target that cancer in a super specific way, and curing cancer individually, one person at a time.
And we know that you're part of the managers for the PGM Jenison Health Sciences Fund. And I just want to, because our audience cares about things like this, 3 years, if I look at the average annual performance, according to Bloomberg data, up about 11%, putting it in the 90th percentile. And United Health, Eli Lilly, Merck, these are some names that are in it, Humana. I mean, as you say, there's a lot of large cap names. While we often think of biotech as kind of smaller startups, it really is a lot of these bigger cap names that are very involved in setting the trends of what's to come when it comes to healthcare.
It is. The larger companies are definitely the ones who are setting the trends in a way. And the innovation happens in both camps. A lot of the innovation that is currently in the hands of a Eli Lilly or a Merck or you name the large cap company came from a small cap biotech. So it's not to say that it's the innovation starts at the large or the small. It kind of happens across the spectrum. But, you know, the super innovative companies that develop drugs that are going to be incredibly efficacious typically will wind up becoming part of a larger company over time. So there's an ecosystem there that has worked, you know, pretty well over time.
And listen, do you really care about what the Fed does or what inflation does? And just got about 30 seconds. Does that really shape your investment decisions?
I mean, it has to around the edges. I think all of us have had to become armchair macro experts here and there. But at the end of the day, my colleagues and I at Genesyn really try to focus on the fundamentals.
All right. Really appreciate it, Deborah, and look forward to next time and maybe digging a little bit deeper into your portfolio holdings. Deborah Netchert, she is Health Sciences Portfolio Manager, Genesyn Associates.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take and Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.